Hello, everyone. Welcome to the very first Rebel Room postgame edition of the 2010-11 basketball season. Ryan Green, Ray Brewer here to talk about UC Riverside basically playing the role of a sacrificial lamb to UNLV tonight at the Thomas and Mack Center. 85-41 was the final. The outcome was really never in doubt. The lead continued to grow throughout the night. And Ray, we might as well start at the beginning because, you know, combining the two exhibitions with the regular season opener, this is the third time in three games that UNLV has started a game fast on both ends of the floor, with the strong defensive pressure turning into easy offense, the well executed good shot selection, a lot of things positive, and they're playing really well right out of the gates, and that's important.
They are, especially when last year at times they started slow, and it obviously became a problem. But everybody that was at the MAC tonight saw a UNLV team that was athletic, that was quick in transition, that set itself up for easy baskets. You're right, Ryan. Riverside, sacrificial lamb. We knew that they didn't have much experience, and boy, did it show. But same token, UNLV looked great. Definitely building some confidence. I think a lot of players who, you know, we had some question marks about in terms of how they would play, played well. And for an opening night, you can ask for anything more. A convincing victory, confidence builder, great home crowd on a Friday night.
Yeah, that puts it nice and tidy. 12,970, the paid attendance. And, you know, look, there's positives that we can talk about with just about every player on the UNLV roster here tonight, and we might as well start with the leading scorer, Chase Stanback, 17 points, a game high, 7-12 shooting, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, was very creative offensively, not just spotting up and shooting, creating his own mid-range shots, not even having to use the head fake. And you look at the other guys in the starting lineup, let's go a little more in depth on the starting backcourt, because without Trayvon Willis, this trio of Derek Jasper, Anthony Marshall, Oscar Belfield looks really good. Anthony had 16 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds. Obviously, this is a kid who's going to be playing at another level this year and really has taken his game up a notch. Belfield, 15 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, no turnovers. And Derek Jasper, 5 points and the key stat of the night for any Rebel, probably 13 rebounds, a career high.
It was, and I think the four players you mentioned, Ryan, good passers.
Uh-huh.
And it seemed like a lot of UNLV baskets, the person who scored was put in such a great position to score, you know, a wide open, uncontested shot. You and me at Pecos Legacy, you giving me the rock and me draining the J. It seemed like it was that easy, but great defense. You know, Marshall, so athletic, that block that really got everybody excited. And good passing, good defense, good athleticism, good speed. You're right, they didn't even miss Trayvon. It was really a great effort, definitely something to build on. You know, what stands out for me, you know, you mentioned Stanback's team high 17 points. That was in 24 minutes.
Yeah.
Very effective.
Efficient, yeah.
Marshall with the 7 assists. I thought that Belfield was a great leader out there. I thought he organized the offense well. Starts off making that 3-pointer, and I'm not a big fan of putting the 3 up in the air after you make the shot. But I just the confidence that Belfield had. I know at the end of last year he had the knee problem, and he wasn't. You could see where he was starting to develop into a real great player, but the knee was kind of holding him back. Tonight, man, it seemed like he was just working at a different speed. I mean, you were obviously courtside. You had a better view, but a lot of positives.
Very confident with the ball. And, you know, we talk about that confidence. And Anthony Marshall, you know, more talkative than I'd heard him on the floor in a long time. I said to him after the game, I said, man, I don't want to call it cocky, but is it just me or did you maybe play with a little more self, I don't know, call it cockiness, then maybe since the first time I saw him play when he was with the Las Vegas Prospects 2 summers ago and chasing a scholarship. You know, you can tell that he's getting back to feeling like being one of the more dominant players on the floor. He's confident that he's one of the best players on the floor when he's out there. It wasn't always there last year. And, you know, Jasper with the 13 rebounds, how badly did they miss his ability to rebound from the wing at the end of last season? 13 boards. I mean, he had 10 at halftime. and got that career high really quick. Wound up playing 27 minutes, 5 points, two big blocks, including the one on the fast break from behind. But let's talk about the other guys who are going to be responsible down the road for the rebounds, the big men.
Yeah.
Quintrell Thomas got the start, finishes with 8 points and five rebounds in 19 minutes. Carlos Lopez had a great first half. Didn't have to do a whole ton in the second half. He finished with 5 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 blocks. All those blocks came in the first. Bryce Mesamba, 6 points, 2 rebounds in 15 minutes, had 3 fouls. Pretty good start against, for as unorganized and as much ground as UC Riverside has to make up before they're anywhere near a good team, they had athletes. And these guys handled them pretty well, and they mixed it up with them.
Yeah, it was just – it's so tough to kind of grade or judge UNLV's performance because, you know, Riverside wasn't much of an opponent. But I did sense that UNLV, especially those interior players, the big guys, the Mesambas, the Lopezes, that they had a little more aggression than maybe we saw last mm-hmm. year. And I don't know if that's, you know, Contrell Thomas going in and he was – you know, he's a big body who's aggressive and you know, a quote-unquote great rebounder. And maybe he brought a little toughness to that inside unit. And maybe that toughness was just the result of Riverside not being that good. Mm-hmm. But they were tougher. They were more physical. But they had 9 blocks, you know, which when you're contesting shots, getting some blocks, it's hard for the other team to score. Riverside 8 for 40 in the first half. You told me at one point in the second half they were like
nine of 50.
That's great defense. You know, it obviously starts in the perimeter with the Marshalls and the Belfields, who I think are the two best defenders on the team. But when you're contesting shots on the inside, grabbing rebounds, getting out in transition, real thorough victory. UNLV's got to be happy with what happened.
Yeah, and you know, UC Riverside on the night. You know, let's talk about the defensive effort that really was good for 40 minutes. They never really let up. Kruger talked about how much he liked the fact that his team got ahead, and it didn't seem like they'd had enough. They wanted more, and that was impressive. They held UC Riverside to 22.4% shooting, 15 of 67. And out rebounded them 48-39, dominated the glass on that end of the floor. Very, very, I guess, encouraging if you're a fan, because they didn't take it easy on an opening opponent where, in the past couple years, look, we've seen this team have a tough time getting up and excited. But I think a lot of it comes from the fact that this team, these guys are kind of already seeing the potential for this team and really enjoying playing with each other, and it's kind of fueling everybody right now.
Yeah, and they're kind of really building off of last year. When you look at the way last year ended, they really didn't lose, you know, too many key contributors from last year's team, you know, and it seems like they really took a step forward. You could tell where, I mean, especially like a guy like Belfield and Marshall, and even the way Justin Hawkins played with some confidence, you could tell these guys really had a productive off-season. And they've just got like, and it was Riverside. You know, maybe we're talking different on November 20th after the Wisconsin mm-hmm. game, but I mean, it just seems to me that you know they really did a good job of getting better. I mean, this is in my opinion, from the last time I physically saw them play, which was in the league tournament when they lost, to this game, it seems like all the key contributors have gotten significantly mm-hmm. better. Now maybe you know. They were, you know, the last time, you got to remember, Jasper was out with the knee, Belfield was a little banged up, and they weren't playing good at all on the inside. And now, you know, Jasper's back, and just having him out there, you know, a player with great experience who is, you know, he's not one of these guys that, you know, you notice too much on the floor, but he just does the little things, mm-hmm. rebound, passing, in the right spot at the right time. And to me, they just seem so much better than what I saw last year.
I agree. And you mentioned Justin Hawkins before moving to our final two topics of the night. In 25 minutes, 9 points off of efficient 4-6 shooting, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals. Jumped passing lanes very well.
And he was a lot quicker this year. Maybe it was just the fact that he knew where he was running mm-hmm. than he was last year, in my opinion. You could definitely tell the difference between a true freshman and second-year sophomore.
Yes, absolutely. Two things to hit on before we get out of here. One, you mentioned they really didn't notice the absence of Trayvon Willis, but now Lon Kruger, it appears Trayvon will be back from his suspension next week, next Wednesday, when they play Southeastern Louisiana at 7 o'clock. How do the minutes fit? How does he fit in? I don't think you start him right away. I think you got to ease him back into things, considering not only that he hasn't played with these guys yet, really, but he's really only been practicing at full speed for about a week coming off that left knee surgery. I think he kind of becomes your sixth man, ought to start with at least. But, you know, where do the minutes come from? Who kind of takes a dock? Obviously, I don't know that Justin Hawkins plays 25 minutes a game. He maybe drops down to 15, and you're going to have some juggling.
Well, you definitely don't want to take him from Marshall or Belfield.
Yeah,
because
not right now.
Yeah, they're playing so good. Those are your guys moving forward. It's weird that you mentioned the knee surgery for Willis. Totally forgot about that, by the way.
Yeah,
I mean, with everything that's happened to him in the offseason, you tend to forget about that. The team tonight just had so much, you know, chemistry that it seemed like they were all on the same page. I don't know where Willis is going to fit in with that. You definitely don't want to – you need him in the lineup. Mm-hmm. He's your best player. He's an all-league guy. So you got to find a way to fit him in where he doesn't kind of, you know, ruin what you started tonight. So somehow you got to find a way to blend him in there, get him his minutes, because he's a great player. Mm-hmm. He's your best player. But you don't want to take away from, you know, Marshall, who's got this confidence, Belfield, who's your true leader, and you know, maybe Hawkins does take a little bit of a back seat, considering, you know, he might be the odd person out.
And the other guy who didn't play tonight, and we don't know if he's gonna, Karan Meshower, the 6'6" Israeli freshman. Lon Kruger has not made a final red shirt decision on him. Said Karan wants to play. Lon's not sure if he thinks he's ready yet. It sounds like the ball is completely in Lon's court. He said if the kid is relentless about it and doesn't relent, he won't redshirt. He doesn't want to make a kid who doesn't want a redshirt redshirt. But there's a decision to make, and he was very blunt. He said, you know, where are the minutes going to come from? They're so loaded on the perimeter. Where do the kid's minutes come from? Because, you know, look, next year it's different when, you know, Derek and Trey are gone. Right now, where do the minutes come from?
Exactly, and I mean, you definitely don't want to, you know, throw somebody into the fire who's not ready. And even though he's looked real good in the exhibitions and in practice, you definitely don't want to, you know, get this guy where he's not confident, because everybody could tell this kid's going to be special.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got great player written all over him. And, I mean, you could just tell during warm-ups. I watched, you know, we were there an hour early. We saw the kid warming up. What a great stroke, man.
Mm-hmm.
He shoots the ball very well. And, I mean, there's no doubt he's going to be a key contributor moving forward. He's definitely a great find out of nowhere. We didn't even know this kid until July.
Well, here's the situation. Offensively, could contribute right now. Could. Is a good rebounder, could help there. Defensively, a little bit of a liability. That's the problem. Look, the language barrier isn't quite as stiff as it was, or as high as it was a month ago, even. You know, he's rooming with Anthony and Justin and Carlos Lopez, who are kind of helping him along there. But learning the American game is taking a little longer. Defensively, in the exhibitions, he was exposed a little bit. And against the Wisconsins of the world, can you trust him out there defensively? That's, I think, what is on Lon Kruger's mind right now.
Couldn't have said it better, man. As you say Wisconsin, I'm thinking, boy, that they play that Big Ten physical style of basketball. Mm-hmm. And I think that is going to be such a great measuring stick. Can they
impose their will on somebody?
Yeah, could they impose their kind of get out on the fast break, are athletic, good defending guards. Are they going to be better than kind of that Big Ten grit?
Yeah.
It's going to be a good game. I think
Wisconsin, who keeps their game scores in the 40s and 50s.
Yes.
It's going to be interesting.
Yes, it will.
Well, any final comments before we bounce out of here?
I just thought, and I put this in my little column after the game, did you see when they ran out onto the court, onto the red carpet, and Hawkins had the flag, the American flag?
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool, I thought. Nice little touch. I think that those little things that we see at the UNLV games, you know, as a lifelong guy going to the Rebel games, I thought it was a neat touch. Humble opinion.
I like that. We'll leave it on that on the heels of Veterans Day. For Ray Brewer, I'm Ryan Green. We'll talk to you next Wednesday following the Rebels showdown with Southeastern Louisiana. Up at Thomas and Mack next Wednesday night. Until then, take care.